Today's News.
Hello, welcome to World News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. A little bit different for the next couple of weeks while I'm away sunning it myself. I thought again we'd dip into the wonderful tome which is Here is the News, an illustrated Manx history, written by, well, you name it, Terry Kringle, Mr. Forster, Mr. Knifton, Gordon Knifton, with advisers Frank Cowan, F.J. Radcliffe. Yes, all the best names in Manx history over the years. A terrific book if you've never had a look at it. It is an election year, of course. So I was looking, interestingly, at Hall Caine. Yes, the novelist, who, of course, became politician. Hall Caine to Enter Politics is the title of a piece within the wonderful tome. Keen students of the Manx political scene have been viewing with interest the strong possibility, we read, of the colourful and dynamic Hall Caine standing for the House of Keys at the next opportunity. Few would dispute this gentleman is the most famous Manxman of our day. I'm sure that's the case, and that the island came to a standstill for his funeral in the 1930s. He was born with no silver spoon in his mouth, and even his bitterest enemies must confess that what he has achieved he has done on his own and with his inborn talents. Born in Cheshire in 1853, the son of a Manx blacksmith, he started to train as an architect, turned to journalism, and even had a short spell as a schoolteacher in Mackled. However, it was as a writer he found the fame and fortune that he sought. Yet the fame brought with it a hostility from many of his fellow countrymen that must have wounded him very deeply indeed. In 1887, Mr. Caine's first Manx novel, The Deemster, was published. It immediately established him as one of the foremost literary figures of our time, and since that first novel he has become one of the most widely read of writers. His works have been translated into more than 16 languages, including even Russian and Japanese. Some argue that he's been fortunate in that the recent educational advances in the United Kingdom and Ireland have created a vast new and comparatively untapped readership for the type of fiction he produces. That may be so, but the runaway success of his novels demonstrates beyond doubt these new readers enjoy what he writes. More serious, perhaps, are allegations he has betrayed his Manx heritage, exploited the simplicity, even the ingenuousness of his fellow countrymen for his own personal profit, and he turned the Manx into figures of fun. Blasphemous and seditious are adjectives not often applied to popular novels. They are to those of Hall Caine. Difficult to think that now, isn't it? However, it's Mr. Caine's political views that today concern us most. Following the collapse of Dumbell's Bank, it was argued by some that the existing system of government was unsatisfactory. The lack of representation of the hundreds of businessmen upon whom the island's economy depends, and what is seen as an uninformed executive, guarantees that it is incapable of dealing with the problems and indeed opportunities of a new century. It is into this rather fraught political situation Hall Caine has stepped with his vision of the future. His views are arousing considerable enthusiasm, and many consider he is just the type of man we need in the Keys. Well, sounds quite familiar, really, this, doesn't it? This despite the fact he's made it perfectly clear that his part in the island's future is somewhat problematical because of the pressure of commitments and the fact he has to be off the island for long periods. Still, not many would find fault with his basic analysis of the condition of the island, that it will stand or fall on its development of the holiday industry. Well, he was right there for a good number of years, wasn't he? Yet the sweeping reforms that he advocates seem too sweeping, indeed too revolutionary, to stand any chance of implementation. That banking, the steamship services, the railways, the electricity undertakings are all utterly essential to our national survival is obvious. That the right way to proceed is to nationalise them is, to put it mildly, open to debate. But that's what happened pretty much, wasn't it? His perception of the need to reform the Manx constitution is again supported by most people, but it must be remembered too that since the Keys became an elected body in 1866, there has been a steady, if unspectacular, increase in the democratic character of our institutions. Unspectacular is probably too moderate a word, as not only has the island witnessed the introduction of the secret ballot, but as early as 1881, women as property owners were given the vote, and in 1892, the franchise was extended to include those women who rented property also. There are few, if any, places in the world where women enjoy this as of right. And indeed, the Isle of Man led the way in those matters. It concludes, whether Hall Caine can persuade a sizeable body of opinion of the correctness of his views is still doubtful. We shall have to wait and see, and while it may appeal to some to have an international figure in the House of Keys, there are many others who, apart from their resentment over the portrayal of the Manx in his novels, believe that the business of government is too serious to be left to someone who cannot guarantee his presence on the island. Nevertheless, it is to be hoped that he will be persuaded to devote his perceptive and imaginative mind to our affairs. Nothing but benefit to the island would result. He was right in quite a few of his views, it would seem, and certainly thinking that the way forward at that time was the holiday industry, which kept the Manx economy going for decades, I'd have said. Perhaps not so much now, but he clearly had the right views as to the future of the Isle of Man in his day. A good writer too. Hall Caine in Japanese, anyone? It'll be interesting to see what happens in the forthcoming general election here on the Isle of Man, of course, but that, of course, we'll have to wait and see. Suffice to say, give it time. It'll all be old news. Until next time, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.